Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Byte Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Hey, y'all. Seven Rounds in Heaven is back. We're brought to you by the Armchair All-Americans as a part of the Armchair Media Network. Week 7 in college football gave us the first major upset of the season. Let the chaos begin. It is I, Rob Paul, the Armchair Scout, a.k.a. a sweaty Will Muschamp impersonator. And with me, as usually always, is AJ. Lovie Smith is better than Harbaugh Marchese.
It's true. Better at losing Super Bowls, too.
He has a sick beard, too. Today, we'll talk all about the 2020 NFL draft prospects we saw from Week 7 of college football. Then, we'll preview and pick the huge Week 8 matchups. Let's hit it!
7 rounds in heaven with my baby. Going out to Vegas, maybe. Looking for a young or a 2-0. Don't draft a running back on the first day. Don't draft a running back on the second day. Maybe draft one on the third. Or don't. Let's go 7 rounds. Let's go 7 rounds together. Let's go 7 rounds forever. And that's a song.
I don't know about you guys, but for me, a game is 10 times more exciting when I'm putting my money on it. Sometimes I have a gut feeling about a matchup, and sometimes I'm just betting on my team because they're my team, fool. Regardless, whether you've been betting for years or you're ready to play for the first time, MyBookie is your best bet this season. If you're the kind of guy who likes to bet a little to win a lot, try a parlay. For instance, if you like a couple of the big favorites this week, parlays are perfect because they let you bet multiple games together for a much bigger payout. So, if you're going to get the betting this season, do the smart thing and go to mybookie.ag because no one gives you more ways to win. With pro football, college football, and MLB playoffs in full swing, and both hockey and basketball around the corner, now is the time to get off the sidelines and get in on the action. If you really want to support your team this season, don't just sit on the sidelines. Get in the game with MyBookie.ag. And if you join right now, MyBookie will double your first deposit. Use promo code CHAIR to activate the offer. That's promo code CHAIR to double your cash. Visit MyBookie.ag today. You play, you win, you get paid. My bookie. Week 7 is in the books. I forgot what week it was. Pretty exciting week. Mm-hmm. We saw Georgia fall.
Mm-hmm.
We saw LSU prove they're the truth.
Mm-hmm.
We saw Miami take down Virginia on Friday night.
Yeah, that's a big one.
The big ACC battle. ACC is so bad.
It is.
But first and foremost, ESPN Game Day celebrity picker this past week was John Goodman, the legendary actor.
Mm-hmm.
And how would you grade him?
I say he was good, man.
Thanks. I give him a 7.5 out of 10. I just like the way he talks.
Yeah, John Goodman's like a very soothing presence.
Yes, yes. But like,
also intimidating at times.
He also seems very just like he knows a lot of stuff.
Yeah, he feels like a wise person.
Like if he gave me advice, I would take it no matter what, no questions asked.
And the advice would have been to bet on the Tigers,
and he would have been right.
Well. Not if you got a minus 14. But
we had a minus 13.
Yeah, baby.
Heck yeah.
7 for me.
Okay. Week 8, ESPN Game Day is going to State College for Michigan at Penn State. Who do you think will be the picker?
Desmond Howard will be there. I predict that. Well,
good. Thanks.
I hope it's Bobby Engram, Rob.
That would be cool. I guess.
It's not going to happen.
Why not?
I don't know. You think Bobby Engram's big enough?
Oh, for do State? Not read out loud the first person's name who pops up when you Google Penn State alumni. Jesus Christ. I almost just automatically said it because it's the first name I saw. Oh,
we got to start doing this before the show.
Yeah, I like to do it in the show, so it's like really just not good for listening to.
No, like this is like the part of the show where we just... Oh, there's an article. Who could be college game days?
Ty Burrell from Modern Family.
Oh, Keegan-Michael Key, apparently.
That's pretty good.
He is... Yeah, he's an alumni. That's a very... That feels like a very good...
Adam McKay's an alumni, too. Yo, Penn State just cranking him out.
Apparently, Joe Jonas is a Penn State fan for some reason.
That's super strange. I will take Joe Jonas. Joe Jonas is my selection for the game day picker.
Someone's picking... In this article, they mentioned Mark Ruffalo, and he literally says for no reason. So
that's cool. But you know me and Mark Ruffalo. I love him.
You do love Mark Ruffalo.
Anyway, diving into our Week 7 superlatives. This is already off to a terrible start.
I'm picking Bobby Engram,
at least we're consistent. Best freshman you saw in Week 7?
He wasn't terrible, Rob, unlike us. In one of the more, I'll say it, the best 3 o'clock game on the slate of
games. Yeah, there was not very good picks, so.
No, they were kind of bad. Jaden Daniels, the quarterback for Arizona State, just keeps on being gritty. That's the word I like to use for him, and fun.
Does that mean he's good or he's bad?
No, grit. You think grit is bad?
I don't know. I feel like gritty's the term you use when like a quarterback's not that good, but they win because he's like kind of tough and can run a little bit.
Yeah, I know, but
like
he's
like Matt McGloin. Jane was gritty. Most of the XFL quarterbacks who are drafted today are gritty.
That's true. You're not wrong. But like Matt Stafford's gritty.
That's true. That's a good point.
Anyways, Jaden Daniels got some grit to him for sure. He was 26 to 36, 363, 3 touchdowns, ran for a touchdown. Obviously, the big fourth quarter to win that one over Wazoo to keep the Pac-12, well, not alive, but a little more in order. He's been good for them, man.
Oh, no, he's definitely one of the most efficient freshman quarterbacks. His ability as a runner is kind of what makes the difference. It must be nice as an ASU fan to... A thought when Herm Edwards was hired that there's just nothing going for this team. Now they're a top 25 team. You lost Manny Wilkins, but you inherit Jaden Daniels. Mm-hmm. So not so bad.
Big game for them this week, too.
Oh, yeah. Big Pac-12 game. Utah.
Yeah.
Utah. I put two different guys. One guy we've mentioned a bunch of times, Derek Stingley, the LSU corner. Now, he struggled against Florida, but he came up big late with the interception in the end zone. Mm-hmm. And I don't know. I was just really impressed that a true freshman on that big stage was able to get over the fact that he was getting beat and come back and make the one of the biggest plays of the game.
It's a good point. He would have been my second choice. But, yeah, no, he got, I wouldn't say picked on, but did struggle. And then, yeah, the monster interception. So
I also put down Roshan Johnson, the Texas running back.
Okay, yeah.
118 total yards and a score on 12 touches. He was moved from quarterback to running back this year because they just have no running backs in Texas anymore. And he'd never played running back in his life. And he was probably their most consistent dynamic playmaker against Oklahoma.
Is your Denard Robinson comp?
He's a little bigger. 6'2", 220.
It's good size.
I wonder if this is just he's just going to be a running back going forward, though.
I mean... They've had running backs play quarterback before anyway, so what's the difference, right?
Bring back the tractor trailer formation. Tyrone Swoops.
Yeah, 18-wheeler, baby.
Just got
added back to the Seahawks practice squad, by the way. Big shout out, Swoops.
Oh, did he actually?
Yeah.
Yeah, is it so big for you?
Well, Disley went down. Anyways.
Sad. Best sophomore?
Yeah. kind of an easy one going to that Georgia upset. The corner, 6'4", 205, true sophomore, Israel Mukwamu.
Am I close? You're very close.
Okay. Obviously, had three picks. Led the team in tackles with seven. Just a monster game.
Pick six.
The size.
And huh? He had the pick six.
Exactly, yeah. The size is intriguing.
Yeah, I didn't really know much about him
nor did
going
I.
into the game. Yeah. And then he immediately, like, pretty early on at the pick six, and they're like, yeah, he's 6'4". I was like, what? And then I was instantly interested for 2021 on him. And then, yeah, he went on to pick off two more passes, made a bunch of tackles. No, he's really, really interesting. He was like a big recruit, too. He's not just some flash in the pan, really tall corner who happened to make some plays. I got another guy, though, from Friday night, Panay Sewell, who we haven't really talked about yet, the one in left tackle. An offensive line at Oregon that's got four seniors. He's the true sophomore at left tackle, and he was really good as a true freshman as well. He looks like a future top 10 pick. Just the combination of size, athleticism, physicality, especially in such a young player to be so refined already. And he's going to be a big time dude, I think.
I'll mention another name that we mentioned a lot, but Sage Surratt had another monster game against Louisville.
We don't even count him as a sophomore because we know he's a redshirt sophomore. He's declaring.
He feels like he might declare, right?
He should declare.
12 catches, /196, three touchdowns. Just keeps doing
gotten
what he
so
does.
Much better this year too. Like I think if he he's a day two pick.
Yeah. No.
I also threw down Florida tight end Kyle Pitts' name. He was kind of like their go to mismatch guy. Just the size and athleticism from him. He had 108 yards against LSU. And then three sophomore receivers, just to remind us that even though this year's draft class can be nuts for receivers, next year's it will be too. Justin Ross from Clemson, Jalen Waddle from Alabama, and Jamar Chase from LSU.
Yeah.
All three of them just flashy, flashy, flashy.
Flashy boys.
Yeah, I call them the flashy three.
The flashy. Yeah. I've heard you mention that.
Never mind. on to Weekday Warrior. The slim pickings, because I can't even remember what the Thursday games were, but I didn't watch them because Thursday night football.
Then you had Colorado State to choose from, New Mexico.
Yeah, and obviously those guys would have been my picks, but yeah, Friday night we got Miami, Virginia, which in hindsight was not a fun game at all. And then Oregon, Colorado, which, yeah, also not that fun.
I mean, look, again, you mentioned it was a week late, so you got to pick Justin Herbert. He played on a Friday night, Rob.
He played well, too. I put him down.
And he played well.
They kind of let him get a little bit loose on the Colorado defense and push the ball down the field some. And, like, the numbers aren't amazing, but they're good. 260 and two scores. It was just an easy win. He looked very in control. A nice bounce-back performance, I thought.
For sure.
Also, his tight end, Jacob Breland, was off to a great start. Unfortunately, hurt his knee, I believe.
He's out for the year,
which sucks because he'd been one of the best tight ends. He felt like he was really coming for the Mackey.
Yeah, that's a good point.
And he pushed himself way up draft boards. Yeah, and so we'll see how that affects him. But really tough. And it's a big blow for Oregon's just playoff hopes, too, just because their receivers are not very good.
No, I don't know if they have playoff hopes.
No, but if they won out, and especially with all the bizarreness chaos in the SEC, and like if Clemson loses a game in the ACC,
honestly, that's true. I think even if they won out, and LSU just lost to Bama, I think
they would need to. Yeah, it's pretty much impossible. But how about this? Their New Year's Six bowl hopes are
there. You go.
Are hurting now. I also put, to mention the Virginia-Miami game a little bit, Charles Snowden. He's just so fun to watch. He's so belligerently tall.
6'7", baby.
They simply do not make linebackers that tall, generally. In the range, and he's just one of the more fun off-ball linebackers in the country, I think.
He is. He's so... I just want to keep seeing more of him.
Yeah, for sure. And he's a true junior, so there's not even a guarantee he would come out.
I don't feel like he will, but that's just pure speculation.
Well, he might, just based on one guy who did return from his team. We'll talk about that in a bit. That's called a teaser, AJ.
Yeah, it is a teaser.
Best prospect you saw this week?
I'll go with number one, CeeDee Lamb, because he had a monster performance against Texas. I think he was
the
best prospect in
the country for sure this week.
Yeah, I mean, I think he, like, the stat line was great, but I think he was even better than it. 10 catches, 171 yards, 3 touchdowns, but, like...
It was the way he was doing it.
Exactly. Like it was, like, every time, like, the touchdowns shouldn't have been. Yeah, like, the Texas team should have tackled him for sure.
I was
going to
say, my favorite thing on Twitter during this game was people taking screenshots of, like, when he caught the ball and all the Texas defenders around him, and then tweeting, CeeDee Lamb scores on this play. And
had the almost Michael Crabtree-esque tiptoe down the sideline, too.
His yak ability, then putting that with the route running and the body control and his overall strong hit, like, he reminds me so much of DeAndre Hopkins. I know some people weren't as high on him as we were before the year, but I think people are really starting to come around and see that he is in the same tier as Henry Ruggs and Jerry Jeudy.
No, yeah. It just felt like the last 2 weeks is where the hype finally came back.
Yeah, because I think a lot of it was hurt by he was seeing so much coverage that, like, Charleston Rambo was cashing in a lot because of it. Obviously, like you said, the last 2-3 weeks, he's been the go-to guy. And when the ball's in his hands, he just makes special things happen. It's like every time he touches the ball, he's a threat to score.
Pretty much.
No, I love him. I think he's a top 10 prospect. I would be pounding the table for him. So I had him, and I also put down Clemson linebacker Isaiah Simmons.
It's a good choice.
Like, they dominated Florida State. It wasn't that fun a game to watch, but Isaiah Simmons is always just so fantastically fun. The absolute athleticism he brings to the table is so rare. There's multiple plays where he's on the backside and he can come across and stop anyone from doing anything. And he had a wicked strip sack. And I don't know, I just really love watching a linebacker with that type of athleticism that doesn't shy away from contact, that brings so much aggression to the field.
He's so good, man. Like, I feel like he's a, I don't want to use the word safe, but I think he's a guy that's going to go in the first and just be a really, really good football player.
Oh, me too, especially because, like, he's probably going to blow up the combine completely.
I think so, yeah.
Like, would you be surprised if Isaiah Simmons ended up being a top 10 pick?
Honestly, I was about to ask you the exact same question, so my answer would be no. Just because, again, I expect him just to...
Like
Clemson's going to keep playing in big games, so the eyes are going to be on him, and then he's going to go, and I think he's going to blow up Indy, and, like...
I think, also, you throw in the fact that Devin White and Devin Bush went top 10 this past draft.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
And, like, I think Isaiah Simmons has a more upside than maybe both of them. I think he's much more competent in coverage than Devin White, at least.
For sure. Yeah, that for sure. No, it's a little more, like, well-rounded than both of them. Devin Bush, I felt, was...
He's less of a Mike linebacker than both of them. He's more of a Will. Yeah. But just, I think he's just the type of guy you insert and you get... in, like, he reminds me a lot of Levante David.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure. I'll throw another name in.
Yeah, do it.
I just don't... I put him down here because I feel like we have to talk about him. I wasn't sure where else to put him. Joe Burrow's performance against Florida. Okay. No, you didn't feel like he... I mean, he had
no. I'm happy you said it.
Okay, good.
Were you worried I wasn't? You worried I was going to kick you off?
No, I was. I was like, what are you talking about? Only three. It had the same amount of incompletions as touchdowns. That's always a good thing.
It was just a super efficient game against a Florida defense. That's no joke.
Exactly. Pretty much.
Now, Florida was banged up. Zanigo's obviously playing through an injury. Grenard got hurt early, and that really hurt the Florida pass rush. But on the other hand, still, they have multiple future NFLers in the secondary and future NFL linebackers. And he just he was not fazed by anything. And I think his mobility is quite underrated.
He's not immobile.
No, like, in that was the thing at Ohio State. People were like, when him and Dwayne Haskins were battling for that job, I remember a lot of people were like, if they are looking for a thing closer to JT Barrett, like, Joe Burrow is the better runner, clearly.
Mm-hmm.
No matter what Stephen A. Smith tells you.
But Haskins, yeah.
Yeah, but Burrow was just, I put him down for shooting up the board.
Yeah, I felt like he's already done that. I
felt kind of cheap doing it, but, like, you're right. He had to go somewhere. But, yeah. It was especially seeing other quarterbacks who were in the top five conversation struggle or just not have massive games. Joe Burrow showed up every single week and it showed up in the biggest games. And I don't know if there's much more he can do.
Yeah, at this point, I'm just trying not to get my hopes up for the Alabama game.
Yeah. But, like, even we're seeing – I saw mock number one in the draft this week.
I did too, as well.
So, I mean, the first round seems very – like, he's going to be in the conversation with Tua and Herbert as those – no quarterback's done more for themselves, I don't think.
Absolutely. I mean, I don't want to jinx it, but at this point, I don't see him blowing this. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it's every week and against top-tier defenses. I very much am in on Joe Burrow.
And like they talk about his leadership, so it doesn't seem like interviews are going to be an issue.
Yeah, I know. His dad was a defensive coordinator in FBS football for like 20 years.
Yeah, so it seems like he's got all the boxes just...
And the leadership and his energy. I like him a lot as a human.
Yeah.
And also, he checks the box for Trill Withers' cool quarterback guide.
That's a big one. Yeah,
number one these days.
He's not going to be the Parcells.
Oh, God, no. No one will. That's not true. Jake Fromm will if he goes back for senior year.
Fromm will, yeah.
One more best prospect I threw down, LSU safety Grant Delpit. Because we hadn't talked about him that much. Not that he was struggling or anything, but he wasn't, I don't know, blowing up games necessarily. And he had some missed tackle issues throughout the season.
Yeah.
And then in this game, it felt like every big stop was him.
Well, yeah, absolutely. Yeah. He kept hammering guys. The one submarine against Trask.
He was just sticking tackles and making the biggest plays. He had near interception, which I really wish he came down with.
It would have been a hell of a catch, but he should.
Yeah, no, I agree. But just him showing off that tip of range to get there was big.
No, for sure.
Like, he is a perfect do-it-all safety. And I just think we need a reminder, like, this dude is legit. I don't know if he's going to go top 10, though.
I saw a mock that, like, had him at 32, which I was like,
that's too far. Like, that's, like, the Derwin James thing all over again, where it's like, we all know he's a top 10 prospect, and he slid to the 17th pick. Oh, he was immediately amazing.
Yeah, the NFL looks dumb for that.
Yeah,
so.
Like, I'm not saying Grant Delpit won't go top 10. I just wouldn't be surprised if the NFL messes this up again. He's going to be a top 10 prospect for me.
Yeah, I mean, if there's a lot of quarterbacks, you know, the receivers.
Andrew Thomas, Tristan Wirfs.
Yeah, Young, obviously.
Yeah, Epenesa. Like, there's a very possible way he falls.
Yeah, but like I don't think 17. Unless, like, you know, it's a long way to go, but you know what I mean.
At this point, I don't know. Some people are telling us seven quarterbacks are going in the first round. So, who do you have shooting up the board?
I got a couple names down. First off, I got to go to Michigan. Josh Uche finally had his breakout game. 3 sacks, 5 tackles. Looked pretty good. Always been an intriguing guy.
Yeah, he was another guy that had more, like, Quiddy Pay has been playing better, but Uche's the one who had the hype going into the season.
Exactly. And again, another guy, like, Pay too, but Uche's flashed a little more than him in the past. And obviously, like you said, he's had the hype. So this was a big game for him. We'll bounce back and forth. Who's your first?
So I have Burrow. Obviously, we talked about him. So I'll say a guy from our home country, Neville Gallimore, the Oklahoma nose tackle.
My second choice. I felt a little cheap putting him here because we've talked about him a lot.
It's hard, but like he's been so good this year. And obviously, we know he's a big-time athlete, but it feels like this year he dropped a little bit of weight, and you're really seeing it in production now. He had Texas's number up the middle all day. His explosiveness off the line with the power is awesome. Like, I know he is a nose tackle for Oklahoma, but like this guy can play 3 tech in the NFL.
I think. Yeah, I agree. And like my reasoning for putting him here is like I feel like he's into that first round now.
Yeah. No, I think he is. It's gonna be really fun, kind of seeing how the interior defensive line shakes out. Because I think right now it's like pretty clearly, I think it's pretty clearly been Derek Brown is the top dog right now at that spot. And then obviously like Raekwon Davis is second. But then like seeing the guys like Javon Kinlaw, Marvin Wilson, and then Neville Gallimore, all 3 of them have done so much for themselves this year.
Yeah, no,
so seeing how it all really shakes out is going to be really interesting. And then you get, there's a handful of like interesting nose tackle types, but I think the NFL kind of should know by this point that those guys are not as worthwhile as a three-tech pass rusher.
You never know, Rob. You can't trust.
Who else you got?
Guy we've almost in the same vein. Guy we mentioned a couple times, but is really starting to put it together and moving up the board. Arizona State wide receiver Brandon Ayuk.
Okay.
7 catches, buck 96, 3 touchdowns. Looking pretty legit now, Rob.
Yeah. I've got him for a different category in a bit, but he's a guy who's this receiver class. So it's gonna be real interesting to see who comes out, because it's like I feel like a guy like him, or like a guy like Sage Surratt, for example, or
yeah,
I don't even like a guy like Aaron Fuller. If they have a big game, everyone's like, I don't know how you don't have this guy as a top 10 receiver. And like I'm thinking, this dude might be my wide receiver 16. There's so many of them. I can't have them all be top 10. And like even I'll just throw another guy out who I'm going to mention in a bit. I've seen Justin Jefferson get some top 10 love now. The LSU receiver.
Yeah.
And just there's so many of them. Ayuk's really interesting though because big playability, but can return punts too. Kind of just really finding his stride in that zone of state offense and is really the key to all their passing plays.
Pretty much.
Yeah, he had a great week. Because we're all Oklahoma prospects all the time, I'm gonna throw another one out. Kenneth Murray.
Yeah.
He was awesome against Texas. I don't know if there's one defender, in my opinion, I've seen this on Twitter as well, people saying this, who's done more for themselves than Kenneth Murray. When I watched him in the summer, I was a little disappointed because I know the numbers are big. He's a big name. He had some love. I was like, kind of, I thought his instincts were a little weak. He was missing too many tackles. Like, you could see the athleticism and the explosiveness in the range, but it wasn't like he was very raw and he had to put it all together. It seems like he's now put it all together. He was everywhere against Texas. We saw what he could do as a blitzer. We also saw some plays in coverage. I am thinking he's pretty much locking himself into day two top five linebacker.
Yeah, I feel the same way. And if you remember correctly, AJ was the first on the Kenneth Murray trade.
So okay, if you because he made 19 tackles against the triple option offense.
Exactly.
Who else you got?
I got one more, Rob. Yeah, to a lesser extent, just a guy. I think we talked a little bit about him last week. Looks pretty good against Bama. Another receiver, Courtney Davis, the A&M receiver. I thought he looked the most impressive of the trio. Had the one really ridiculous catch. I think he had the best numbers of the bunch too. 7 for 81. I thought of the three, he clearly looked the best, and I think he's the most interesting one.
Yeah, well, we've talked about the three of them before, and just he does seem the most ready, and we've talked about the other two get more hype than him.
Yeah, no, I know.
So it's nice to see him putting it together, and again, just this receiver class is going to be juiced up. I'm going to mention three more guys quickly. Starting with Alabama edge rusher Terrell Lewis, who we all know has all this potential, but it's been injuries getting him for most of his career at Alabama. Mm-hmm. Now he's been healthy this season, and boy, oh boy, is he talented. Just the length and explosiveness. He was giving Texas A&M's right tackle hell. I saw some speed to power. His hands are just really quick. He's the first guy off the line. Like, he looks like a first-round type of edge rusher. It's just whether or not the medicals come back clean, and if he can... I mean, who knows if he'll declare just because he hasn't played that much, but he's really interesting. Also, South Carolina's Javon Kinlaw. I think for me right now, he is firmly my third interior defensive lineman, and he looks more and more like a first-round pick. A lot of Chris Jones to his game with the length, athleticism, and pass rush upside.
No, for sure. And your last guy?
Bryson Hopkins, the Purdue tight end. We haven't talked about him that much.
No, we haven't.
And he had a big game against Maryland, 140 yards. He was seam busting. It's a weird tight end class, and there's going to be a lot of guys. We've mentioned that there's going to be a lot of guys competing for that top spot. He, I think, is the, like, if there was a consensus top guy, it would probably be him right now.
I think so, yeah.
But, like, even we're seeing, like, Cole Kmet really burst onto the scene.
That's true.
And, like, there's guys who are going to love Harrison Bryant for the upside. It's a very interesting class.
It is. It's still wide open, honestly.
Definitely. Who do you have sliding down the board?
All right, I'm going for the reactionary low-hanging fruit of Jake Fromm, baby.
Well, I also have him.
Don't worry. Yeah, we had to have him, right?
He threw three interceptions, only completed 55% of his passes against South Carolina, and basically he's the reason they lost.
Exactly. I mean, what else we got to say? And, like, lots of talk, like, we're like, okay, he's a second-round pick now, and blah, blah, blah. Like, you know, falling out of the first. Which I think we felt like that already, but no, everyone feels like it. Yeah. So.
He doesn't have enough physical upside. Like, I get, mm-hmm. like, loving the football IQ, loving the accuracy, but he just seems like a guy who's not going to consistently be able to push the ball down the field. He can't really create anything using his legs.
No.
And in big moments, he kind of just comes up short a lot. Which I feel bad about saying, but that's what it feels like. Another quarterback. I put down Jalen Hurts.
No, fair enough. I wasn't sure if you were ready to say it, but
he put up big numbers, no doubt, and he won. Yeah. He had four total touchdowns, threw for 235, ran for 131. He really relied on his legs, which, I mean, there's no reason to ding that. But I thought it was because he didn't seem that confident as a passer. He lost a fumble in the red zone. The interception was in the red zone. He just kind of, it felt like when he was under pressure, he reverted back to the old Jalen Hurts, where it was a lot of poor mechanical work, throwing passes he shouldn't be throwing across his body, and just kind of panicking. So I'm just not ready to crown him a definite first-round pick yet, like some people are.
I agree. And, like, I think the hype's a little much. Like, you know, obviously the first couple weeks you're really intrigued with how he's looked, and, like, he's been extremely impressive. But, yeah, I'm not ready to say he's a first-round guy, and, like, still a long way to go with Jalen Hurts is what I'll say.
Yeah, totally. And I think we like to get ahead of ourselves, especially when it comes to quarterbacks, especially when it comes to big-name quarterbacks. Yeah. Like, I saw something today. It was, like, just – I know this is talking Heisman, not prospects, but it was the top – 10 Heisman odds at this point a couple of years ago, and none of the guys in the top 10 like finished in the top 5.
Remember that year? That who was it that won?
I can't think.
Alcastan, I remember that year, but I don't remember who won.
But yeah, so it's just like we're gonna overreact, but it's still so early. We're like halfway through the season and so far away from the NFL draft. Long way to go. We don't even know which quarterbacks are definitely coming out yet. Let's not confirm 7 are going in the first round too early on.
I almost feel like the pre-draft stuff is going to be more important for Jalen Hurts.
If he, like, I would love to see him at the Senior Bowl showing off the cleaned up mechanics and footwork. I'd love to see him. I'd love to see Justin Herbert there as well. Joe Burrow. Like, it's got a very good chance to be a friggin' amazing Senior Bowl quarterback class.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure.
Two more sliding on the board for me. Florida corner CJ Henderson.
Yeah, it just hasn't put it together this year.
He just seems like he lacks awareness on the field. He'll make a big play, but then he'll get burned. It's kind of Marcus Petersy.
And he can't tackle.
Yeah, he does not like tackling.
Yeah.
So that's not great. Also put Bryce Hall. The Virginia corner went down with what looked like to be a broken foot against Miami.
Yeah, it's an ankle injury. Yeah,
and he's done for the year. And it's not great because there was already going to be questions with him about overall athleticism. Now he's hurt, and if he's not able to participate in the NFL Combine, I think it's really going to scare teams off. And I have a hard time seeing him going in the first round if he can't test.
No, I feel the same way, and, like, I still think he's a really damn good football player, though. Like, I'm not...
Technically, he is so savvy, and he is really smart, and he's very physical, and he has elite ball skills. But if he can't run, and we all already think he's like a 4.55 guy. Like, that's just going to hurt.
It's a big issue. No. Absolutely.
Do you have anyone else for sliding down the board?
No, Hall was my second guy. And again, no fault to his own, but it sucks. But
especially for him, like if this was a guy, like I'm not going to name a guy to get injured. But if this was a guy like one of the other top corners, and we know they have big time speed, like I think it would be a lot less painful. Like for Dylan Moses, for example, we know he's an elite athlete. We're not too worried about him not being able to test in Indy.
Exactly. Yeah, for sure.
Out of nowhere prospect.
I'm going to with two from the LSU offense. Not really out of nowhere, but just they surprised me because I didn't think they were so good. I bet I wrote them both down too. Yeah, Justin Jefferson. Yeah. Okay, we'll start with Justin Jefferson because, damn, he's damn good. Like, what a hell of a performance! 10 catches, 123 yards, a touchdown. Again, not really out of nowhere, but I didn't think he was as good as.
Yeah, no, he seems to be a much better route runner than I realized.
Mm-hmm. And got the size to him. Good athlete.
Yeah, can win downfield.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know. Just again, the receiver class is going to be ridiculous. And I don't know. I'm not ready to grade all of them and then have a guy I love be my wide receiver 15.
It's true. I mean, we know lots of guys are going to go back, probably, but.
Yeah, definitely. They always do.
They always do.
Also, I'm guessing you have Clyde Edwards-Helaire.
I do, because I never gave Clyde Edwards-Helaire the respect that he apparently deserves.
Some of us did. Some of us thought he was pretty good.
Yeah. No, I was lower on him than you. I wasn't super impressed with him last year. Watched a lot of
him. I put him down as well, even though I do like him, just because no one had ever talked about him really this year.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, only 13 carries, about 134 yards and two TDs on them. Holes were pretty big, but he looked explosive. And I mean, he just look at and the size is there. I mean, he had a hell of a game, man. He's helping himself big time.
Devonta Freeman.
Yeah.
I swear, just short, stocky, explosive. Gotta love it.
It's true. I mean, I like all three of those qualities in the pack.
Do you have anybody else? Because I got one.
No, throw one
more.
Which
I'm surprised you don't have, because I would say he's more your guy than my guy all day long. Penn State interior defensive lineman Robert Windsor.
Yeah, he's not out of nowhere for me, though, Rob, but I'm glad you brought him up.
Yeah, he looked great against Iowa and was putting on a show as a pass rusher.
Mm-hmm. 1.5 sacks, yeah. I believe.
He was in all over Nate Stanley, all game. He's going to be a really interesting guy because I think you liked him more than me.
I did,
but
yeah.
I think we both liked him more than the general pop.
Because the traits are there. Like really, he's really,
really interesting. A guy I would love to see in one-on-ones at the Senior Bowl.
Yeah, that'd be a big place for him to show.
Yeah, and like Iowa has a good offensive line. He was
exactly. Yeah, this was a big game for him to finally show himself.
He played better than Yuter Gross-Mazos.
He did, yeah.
He's interesting. One of those more undersized interior defensive linemen, but has the quicks in the pass rush upside. Prospect made you look stupid?
I brought up this guy because we haven't talked about him much this year, and it's Denzel Mims, who had the one spectacular ballerina sideline grab, but had a brutal drop that would have won the game. And in total, just 3 catches for 65. It feels like just among this this receiver class, he's getting lost.
Wait. So,
and even on the other side of the...
He looks stupid as in he's better than you thought or he's worse than you thought?
I just wanted to talk about him. He's worse than I thought. How about I say that? But not really. I've seen the bad drops. But yeah, I mean, on the other side of the ball too, TJ Factor hasn't been too great. He's had a bit of a couple
games. He hasn't had the same hype as a guy like Mims, though.
No, he has. I just want to, again, I want to bring
him up. He's also still in the redshirt sophomore. Or redshirt junior.
That's true. Factor? Yeah. But Mims, it's time for him to start putting games together.
You're right, though. In this receiver class, he's going to be a guy who, like, some people will be like, he's clearly a top 10 receiver, and others will be like, he's my wide receiver 22.
I think I'll lean... I don't know, man. Like, he's got the goods, but...
He's top 20.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, there's like, a lot to
lot
like,
the,
but...
I think he reminds me a lot of Marvin Jones, and I love Marvin Jones.
It's just, like, he'll have the terrible drops.
Yeah. But then he's so excellent at tracking the ball sometimes.
Yeah, like that catch on the sideline was nuts. I didn't think he caught it. Yeah, I mean, exactly. Like, he's got great feet.
Yeah, it's really smooth.
I felt like that for a while. He's smooth, yeah. So we'll see. He's just like, I just want to bring him up because I think he's interesting.
I'm going to bring up a guy you already mentioned, also a receiver. Brandon Ayuk. I wasn't like enamored with him when I watched one game of his 2 weeks ago. I was like, I was interested, but like I didn't think he was a potential day two guy. And then the more I see, the more I'm like, I think I'm just wrong. And I saw this comp on Twitter. I forget who had it, but I think it was Jonah Tulls. Compared him to Michael Gallup, and I thought that was a good one.
I saw that as well, and I thought that was pretty interesting.
Yeah, and Gallup's a guy who I wasn't high enough on in hindsight.
Yeah, no, I don't think I was either.
Best prospect versus prospect matchup?
I got to go to the Big Ten, baby, because I love the Big Ten. And in the Big Ten, you know what it is. It's running backs and linebackers and linemen and defense linemen. But I'm talking about running backs and linebackers here. I put Bocci versus Jonathan Taylor, baby, because that's just a good old school.
Bocci versus any confident running back in the Big Ten is always a good battle.
I know. Obviously, Whiskey dominated the game 130-10. But Bocci had 7 tackles.
It's kind of over the place. When they played J.K. Dobbins. And, like, Dobbins ran for 172, but, like, Bocci was everywhere.
But, I mean, yeah, exactly. But Taylor didn't have a good, like, statistically. No. It was 26 carries, only 80 yards, 2 touchdowns. But I'll give that one to old Joe. Big win for Joe.
I got 2. I'll stick Big Ten, though. Tristan Wirfs versus Yetur Gross-Matos. I thought Wirfs was up and down. I actually thought the other edge rusher from Penn State gave him more trouble, though. Shaka Tony, I believe, is his name. Smaller, more athletic, or more speed rusher type.
Yeah.
But when these two are battling out, pretty good battle. Gross-Matos still, like, is not looking like a first-round guy, though.
I agree.
I also put Jalen Hurts versus Brandon Jones, the Texas safety, who I thought was Texas's best defender against Oklahoma.
Had a pick, yeah, right?
He's. I really, really like him. I think he'll probably end up going day two, second round. I would guess early second round. But he's just gonna be an instant plug and play guy, and he can kind of play any safety spot.
No, that's true. He's pretty versatile. Yeah, that's why you got him the Bradley McDougal.
I actually have a Kevin Byard comp on him. So, prospect duo played the box score.
He had a good game, but like I just felt like his impact was even more than his box score was. Rather,
that's a definitely a good way to do it because I'm the same way with my guy.
Yeah, Clavon Chaisson from LSU, 6 tackles and a sack. But like
I thought, I thought he started the game poorly and really got it going later on.
No, I agree. Yeah, like later in the game, he felt like every time Trask dropped back, he was there.
He's also getting held a lot, and it's just not called.
That is true. Yeah, there's a lot of that. So good off the snap. I mean, we haven't talked about him too much. I know there's been a lot of hype for him on the old draft Twitter.
He's got so much raw athletic upside. He's really fun.
He does. I just wanted to
bring him up. I'm glad you did, because I thought early on he kind of struggled against the run, but he really brought it and put it together late.
Mm-hmm. No, for sure.
And he had the stop on the... that weird pitch play. Sticking SEC, I went with Xavier McKinney, the Alabama safety. 6 tackles and a pass breakup against TAMU. But, like, he was violently tackling. And he was everywhere in coverage. He probably should have had 2 interceptions. I think he's got a very, like, I don't know that there's another safety going ahead of him other than Grant Delpit. I think he's very, like, the IQ and the instincts.
And yeah, he's been getting praised about that for a long time. Right?
He is, like, he's not Minka Fitzpatrick, but, and he's a different type of Alabama safety. Like, he's more of like an Eddie Jackson. If we're just talking Alabama safeties. Safety group's really interesting, because, like, last week we had Ashton Davis going off. Like, I just mentioned, like, we mentioned Delpit, I just mentioned Brandon Jones, obviously McKinney, and, like, Hamza Nasiruddin from Florida State, who we would be talking about more if Florida State was more relevant, because he's very good.
Yeah.
It's a very fun safety class, I think.
Right now, do you think more than Delpit goes in the first round?
I think if Ashton Davis tests like some people think he will.
Yeah, back in the back end?
Yeah. I'll say this. I think either him or McKinney goes in the first round with Dalton. Fair enough. And then I think Brandon Jones is the classic slides early second round, immediate starter. And everyone's like, why did he fall?
Fair enough.
Prospect is being overhyped.
guy that's, I don't know why there's love for him, Rob. It's more of a college football thing, but Kyle Trask is getting too much love, Rob. There was like, I think it's a lot of Gator homers saying. I think it's just because he's
better than Felipe Franks. Which I don't know if he is for sure, but.
I enjoy him more than Felipe Franks. Yeah, I think so too. He's at least more enjoyable to watch.
He's just a better decision maker.
But I mean, Emory Jones is more enjoyable than him.
Yeah, start so. Emory Jones.
That's true. That's true.
Yeah. I'm going to put my top guy, Zach Shackelford, the Texas center.
Okay.
So he's had multiple off-target snaps this season, had a bad one against Oklahoma, and he just couldn't block Neville Gallimore. And this is a guy some people have talked up as a potential day two guy, and I didn't see it on tape when I watched him. I'm not a fan. Like, I'm pretty sure I have a UDFA grade on him. And then he just hasn't been very good every time I've watched Texas this year.
Fair enough.
I also put... Okay, bear with me. Okay. Relax. Don't let Draft Twitter cancel me. Tua Tagovailoa. I put Tua.
You can just say Tua.
I don't think he played that well against Texas A&M.
He struggled. I agree with you.
And I saw some of our fellow Draft Twitter friends that we respect saying this, and then maybe people we don't necessarily follow on Twitter, that's how I'll put that, going at them, being like, look at the numbers, he had 4 touchdown passes. Yeah, but how? Like, watch the product. He missed a handful of throws, he had a couple dropped interceptions, the interception was bad, and it's the type where he threw the same type of interception against Georgia last year, where he doesn't read the safety, and the safety just reads his eyes and comes back across and makes the interception easy.
Yeah.
And what I'm saying is, let's not act like Tua is the perfect he's not Andrew Luck. Let's not act like he is. Like, he's definitely a fantastic quarterback prospect, a top 10 prospect, and he's most likely going to be the number one pick in the NFL draft. But he's not this can't-miss quarterback. There are flaws with Tua. Let's not act like there aren't.
I agree. I'm glad you brought this up.
We need to be critical of the quarterbacks when they play poorly to correctly evaluate them, even if they're great. You got to, it's stupid to ignore the little mistakes because they do matter.
Mm-hmm. No, I agree. I'm glad you brought that up. And I still think he's going to go one.
Yeah, he should.
Yeah.
But
he's not perfect.
Exactly. There are things he needs to improve on for sure, like reading defenses.
This might be more of a knock on the other quarterbacks, but I've seen a lot of fans just being like, oh, if we don't end up with the first pick and get to a don't draft Herbert or Burrow or whatever. You know what I mean? It just seems to a lot of hate for the rest of the group and a little too much admiration for Tua.
Yeah. I think it's got to do with numbers and they see that. But if the receiver's open by 5 yards versus Herbert's are just fully covered all the time, things matter in context.
They do.
Fun quarterback talk, baby. Small school guy who caught your eye?
I'm back to Boise State. I went with John Hightower, who we taught. Okay. We found interesting in the summer, but I think I coined the 9-trick pony. thing with him.
That's your you should put it a book of AJ definitions.
It's like the only one I have. Probably porn. It's probably
you,
porn.
You talk but, about
don't do it. Anyways, the speed is obviously there. You told me that there's been someone mentioned first round with him, which is interesting.
Dave Brugler from The Athletic put out low-key potential first-round picks, future first-round picks, and he was one of them.
I think that goes with the vein of, the deep burners of Hollywood Brandon
I don't think it's slightly going to happen, but I just thought that was interesting. But yeah,
Hightower
was a guy we both liked in the summer for the deep speed, and he's producing big time for Boise State.
Yeah, what do you have in the game?
141, two scores.
Yeah, on almost like seven catches. Lots of
sorry. If you Google Nitric Pony, it's like just about this IPA beer. So you're fine.
Like I had a late, like I had a draftable on Hightower because I thought the like he's 6'2" and he can run like no one else can. But like I thought the hands were kind of meh. I thought like the more difficult catches he struggled with, but he's looked better this year. So
yeah, and he's a senior, so we'll get to potentially see him at the Senior Bowl.
Yeah,
that'd yeah, because I'm like you. I have late draftable.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah.
But anyways. It's going to be interesting.
He's the classic cheap small school guy who caught your eye this week to go with is either him or, wow, I'm blanking on his name. Their edge rusher.
Weaver. Thank you.
Yeah, those are the cheap ones to do. We shouldn't count Boise State, but we do.
Yeah, I know. But they're the cheap ones, and I don't know. I didn't know what else to go with. So.
Okay. AJ. Yeah. As week 8 approaches, I think you should do the smart thing and bet on college football. And if you're going to bet this football season, bet with my bookie. Did you know you could bet games after kickoff? If by the second half it looks like you're going to lose, hedge. Hedge, 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 and hedge. Always hedge. If you're the kind of guy that likes to bet a little and win a lot, like a psychopath, try being a parlay guy and start wearing jumpsuit suits and like out-of-style hats. And chains. If all your picks come through, you'll multiply your winnings and purchase more chains. And no matter how you bet, the NFL season or college football is the best time of the year. Football, football, football. Join now. MyBookie will double your first deposit. Use promo code CHAIR to activate the offer. That's promo code CHAIR. Visit mybookie.ag today. You play, you win, you get paid. MyBookie.
I was wondering where the term hedge comes from, like to hedge your bet. I tried Googling it, and apparently it has nothing to do with bushes. So,
big bush guy?
Kind of disappointed. Don't ask me that, please.
Week 8 matchups. This podcast sucks. Who let us do this? Week 8 matchups. Yeah. How'd you do last week?
6-4.
Oh, gosh.
We're the same record, I think.
32-28?
Yeah, we're the exact same record.
That's a net positive.
It is. I mean, sure. I think it's a tough slate of games, I think, this
week. I'm going to become a professional football gambler.
You just got to use, like, decibels. Like, I had 63.2% of my... It makes it sound better for some reason.
No, it definitely does.
I'm winning every week.
How do you become a... I guess, it's like, really smart people can make it as professional gamblers, but, like, me, I couldn't.
I don't know. The guys... The best jobs are the ones that just sell their picks.
I think the best job is are the people in Vegas who set the lines.
It's true. I don't even know who those people are.
No one does, but they, like, know everything. They know about, like, wind. They know about turf. Things like that. They have to, like, factor in everything to come up with the spread. Like, that'd be a cool gig. You're just watching so much football.
Let's get James Holthouser on the podcast. Talk about this thing.
All right, let's dive in. For some reason, there's only 9 nationally televised games this Saturday, so I threw in a wild card.
It's a good wild card.
Maybe the best game. It's not a bad week.
No, I think lots of these picks are interesting, to be honest. I think the lines are tough.
I would say it's not like a massive college football playoff week. But it's going to be good football.
Yeah.
Okay, starting with the noon game on ABC, number 3 Clemson, going to play Louisville. Clemson favored by 24.5.
Clemson, I mean, they finally put it together and smashed Florida State. We got to give them some credit there. But I'm taking the Cardinals plus the points,
Rob. Me too. Scott Satterfield knows what he's doing.
Yeah, he's got them playing really good football. They what a game against Wake, by the way. I hope people watch that game because it was nuts. It's in Louisville, obviously. Again, Clemson had one game that they looked great, but 24.5 points. It's 24.5 points.
Like I could totally see Clemson coming in, and it being a slow start. And even if they do pull away late, like I have a hard time seeing them winning by more than 24.5.
I agree. Like, I think like a 17 point win.
Clemson always likes to like drop one stupid ACC game.
Oh, are you calling
this
it?
This might be the one. No, I'm not. I'm not gonna call it. It's not Pitt. Come on. Tanner Doozy does his thing, pulls upsets so he can keep his job.
Yeah, that's all he does. It's
but
so
yeah,
weird.
I'm gonna take Louisville.
I don't like that we're both taking Louisville. I kind of hope they'll be like, no, you look stupid. Clemson's gonna roll. Because I would have felt better about my pick.
I totally agree.
It's a lot of points. And Clemson hasn't, like, Louisville's looked good. Clemson hasn't looked spectacular. They win by 18 is my pick. Okay.
12 p.m. Fox, West Virginia at number 5, Oklahoma. OU favored by 33.5.
This is a big spread for a conference game.
It is. It is.
I had to think about it, which I don't know if that's good for West Virginia or bad for Oklahoma, but I'm taking Oklahoma to cover.
Yeah, my kind of thought process here was I don't think West Virginia is good, and I don't like watching
them.
And it's like, in that scenario, if that's the type of team that's playing OU, I'm just going to take OU. I don't care what the spread is.
You know, we've got a lot of the teams not covering these big spreads this year, but
yeah, it's true. But, like, I could just see OU 60-burgering this team.
Yeah, like for what reason would you pick West Virginia? There's nothing going for them in this game.
Yeah, like, I don't even, like, if it, like, I'm going to be watching this game, and it would be, like, less enjoyable if I took West Virginia. So that alone makes me take OU. Like, West Virginia has not a whole lot of NFL prospects.
No, the cupboard's pretty bare there.
Good luck, Neil Brown.
Good luck, Neil. I'm a big fan of Neil Brown.
Me too. I think he's the guy. But it's like Austin Kendall revenge game.
Fuck. Do I have to change my pick
you
now?
You have been pounding the table for Austin Kendall since he was a sophomore.
I've never liked Austin Kendall.
Sophomore in high school.
Look, I said he should have won over Kyler.
The battle went to the end. He must be as good as Kyler.
Yeah.
Okay.
Anyways, Oklahoma.
12 p.m. ESPN, number 9, Florida. Heading in to South Carolina to take on the Gamecocks, who just upset Georgia. Florida 5.5-point favorites.
Look, this feels so wrong for me to say, but I feel like, because you know I hate Florida football, and I was glad to see them get beat by LSU. But
I think they're gonna kill them.
Yeah, I think Florida's gonna go.
It kind of worked out perfectly for a absolute Florida demolishing of South Carolina, where South Carolina's coming off that big victory, they're going to go in riding high and just fall flat, versus Florida's coming off that tough loss to LSU, and it's the opposite. Yeah. And it's just magic.
Okay, look, I feel like Florida should go kick the shit out of South Carolina, but like, I feel like I'd put money on this game, but like, Florida scares me.
No, I would not. I would not actually put like big money on this game, but I do think, just because I don't trust Trask in Florida, but I do think because of those two factors that Florida will end up kind of handling business.
It's only 5.5 points. There's no way South Carolina wins back-to-back games against top 10 teams.
Yeah, unless they go on to their fourth string QB. Their third, we barely mentioned, they're on their third string QB by the time that game against Georgia ended in OT. Also,
he's
also
fun, though.
College kickers cannot kick.
No, they can't. Even Blankenship, who we thought was the most reliable one, missed.
Yeah, tough. Stick with the college punters. Like, man, he's covering all his own punts for Texas A&M.
Yo, Brandon Mann had a great performance.
They had so many big returns, but he ended up being like the cutoff man on three of them, I think.
Like, it wasn't like he was, like, you know, sometimes there's poor punts that ended with big returns. Like, you can put returns on punters sometimes, but this was not.
No, it was like Jalen Waddle's just really, really good.
Yeah, and Texas A&M's not that good.
Okay, 3:30 CBS, the Gary Danielson game, so it means a lot to me. Number 2, LSU taking on Mississippi State. LSU 19.5-point favorites.
Mississippi State lost to Tennessee last week.
Mississippi State is not very good. Tommy Stevens is not a very good quarterback. I don't know why they went back to him, because the freshman? I can't remember the freshman's name. The kid who got demolished when he tried to hurdle. When he got helicoptered. Like, he's better than Tommy Stevens, I think. I actually was reading a Bruce Feldman article in The Athletic today, and it was, 23 guys who could be head coaches somewhere else next year, and Joe Moorhead was on the list.
interesting. I was about to ask about Joe Moore. Like, I like Joe Moore.
I do too. It was more, it read more as it would be his choice to leave Mississippi State because he has such big, like, Midwest and more northern ties. And he just, like, doesn't have any southern ties, was kind of the
idea. Yeah, like, before Mississippi State, he coached at Pitt, Georgetown, Akron, UConn, Fordham, and Penn State. So.
Yeah. I'm going to tell you, I know LSU's coming off a big victory, but, like, I just don't think Mississippi State's that good, especially on defense.
I feel pretty good about this one. I think LSU just goes in and kicks ass.
Like, if you're going to look for someone to watch in Mississippi State, Cam Dantzler at corner, Kylan Hill at running back. But other than that,
it's not much.
Oh, I guess Daryl Williams at center, too. He's pretty good.
No, true. I feel like we forgot about Daryl Williams, but the team's not good.
Okay. This is the game I think I'm most excited for. 3:30 on ABC.
Of course you are. Well,
Pac-12's in my blood. I was born there.
Yeah.
Number 12, Oregon, heading to Washington to take on number 25, Washington. Ducks favored by 3.
Two of my favorite places, Eugene and Seattle.
I agree. So. I think all of the Pac-12 is my favorite places, except for Corvallis.
Yeah, fuck Corvallis.
I hate Corvallis. Don't.
I don't like Arizona. I don't know. I'm up in the air about Arizona.
I think Arizona would be such a strange place that I would love it.
I don't think I can handle it. It's too hot.
It's so hot that I would get into bad decision making.
I can see you embracing Arizona.
I think I'd do really well. Like, I have to be alone, though. Like, I couldn't be there with friends.
No, like, you're living, like, in a little trailer?
Yes.
In the desert?
Yes. Oh, my God. This sounds like my life. Perfect.
You got a big shotgun that you're always worried about Wendigos?
My thing with the Pac-12 is all of the schools outside of the California schools, I could see myself living in a really weird, secluded area alone and thriving. That's why I love the Pac-12. Anyway.
Just move there. Anyway.
I think the reason I'm so excited for this game, though, is obviously Herbert in a pretty primetime opportunity against a team that's got NFL defenders. And on the other side, Oregon's defense has been amazing this year, and seeing Jacob Eason perform against them will be huge for his draft stock. He's been so up and down draft type-wise, and a lot of people are now starting to think he'll return to Washington.
I think it'd be smart.
I do, too. But, like, this game has a lot riding on it for both of them. Mm-hmm. And both schools' seasons, absolutely. Too. Washington can really fix their season by winning this game.
Yeah. This one's up in the air for me. Like I said, I love both cities. I am going to pick the Ducks because when Jacob Eason's faced better defenses, he struggled. And that's my reasoning for it. I know Herbert's now without Breland, and there's, like, nothing else on the offense. Do we have the total? Let me pull up the total.
Please. I agree with you, though. I think, really, for me, the difference is I think this Oregon defense is awesome.
Yeah, that's. I mean, I like Washington. Washington defense not as good as it's been, but I
still think it's good. It is still good, and they've got playmakers in the secondary. I think it's just younger than it's been. Less experience, especially in the front seven, and that's kind of been a big difference for them. And with the Oregon defense, it's like they've got dudes like Kayvon Thibodeau's really coming to his own. So they've got a pass rusher up front with Jordan Scott, who's a big time nose tackle, and obviously at linebacker Troy Dye. And I really enjoy the Oregon secondary. Now I don't know if Javon Holland's going to play because he got hurt last week, and I think him playing would be a huge thing. It kind of seems more like he won't. I know he avoided a major injury, but still. College is weird where you don't really get injury reports whatsoever.
I know that. It really bugs me.
I, like, understand why. Because it's not the same as pro sports. But from, like, a perspective of how we talk about sports or gambling or any of that, it's very strange.
It is. No, for sure. You want to guess the total?
Sure. I am going to say, I'm going to go quite low. I'm like an NFL game total, like 49.5.
That's a really good guess. It's 50.5.
I'm going to take Oregon, though. Just let the record show. I think Herbert's got more big play upside, but ultimately the defense is the difference.
I think it's going to be a good game. I think If Oregon wins, they're not going to cover by much. And I'll take Oregon in the under.
Respect. Sorry, I had to think on it. Oh, sorry. I was thinking about the under. Throw out, just because we put so much time into talking about this game already, final score on it?
Oh, wow. Shit. Now I got to do math. It's 24-20, Oregon.
Wait, say that again?
24-20 for Oregon.
Oh, okay. Sorry, the 24-4 got me confused. I'm going to go 27-17, Oregon.
Okay.
Because, you know, I roll with my ducks. But I hate Corvallis. Moving on, 4 p.m. There was a lot of time put into that game. 4 p.m. Fox.
Well, are you surprised? I mean,
number 18 Baylor taking on Oklahoma State. Oklahoma State 3-point favorites.
Yeah, lots of time put in that last game, and not much going to be put into here because we don't like Big 12 football. We don't mind it, but this is a tricky one, Rob. Baylor's okay. That's what I'll say.
That's a big compliment coming from you.
Yeah, they're not bad. I watched a lot of
Texas Tech game. By the way, I watched very little of it.
When Jet Duffy's on TV, you gotta watch it. Can I just say,
this podcast works because I watch all the big games that super matter and have, like, the big prospects playing in them. And you watch all these strange games?
It was overtime. It was a good game. And I watched the Wake game because they came back. And anyways, I do like
you. It's why we work.
I watched some San Jose State Nevada, which was a good game too. Yeah,
because Last Chance U star Malik Henry was on it. In it,
yeah, that's why. I saw someone we're familiar with giving what's his name? Love. What's his first
Jordan
name?
Love.
Not Jordan.
Josh Love.
Josh Love some love on the old Twitter today. I've actually.
Anyway, back to this game.
Yeah, I'm gonna take Oklahoma State.
I'm going to take Oklahoma State too because I don't think Brewer's a good quarterback. To be totally honest,
he's not bad.
And I don't. Baylor's got some guys on defense. Like, I think James Lynch is a very interesting player. But yeah, I just Hubbard and Wallace. That's a lot of firepower.
And Sanders is fun. It's in Stillwater. I mean,
I think it'll be a fun, enjoyable game though.
Yeah, Baylor doesn't really like. They're not a really fun team to watch.
That's why Matt Rhule's going to be an NFL head coach soon.
Yeah, I was going to, like, how do you feel about Matt Rhule? I know this is a big conversation, but just quick.
I feel like I don't know enough about why he is such a hot name in NFL coaching circles. Like, I think he's definitely a very strong college football coach. We saw him, what he did at Temple. And, like, I wouldn't say I'm not a fan of his by any means. And he's done a good job, clearly, revamping Baylor as quickly as he has, considering all things. But I just don't know, like, why him is kind of my question.
I know. It's almost like they like him because he's not flashy. Yeah. Like, he's a defensive guy.
I know Matt Campbell gets the NFL level a little bit, too. But, like, to me, he should have way more than Rhule.
It's also weird. He's, like, he played defense. He coached defense early in his career. And then he switched to offense. It's kind of weird.
That is strange.
They might like that, too. Because when he first went to Temple, he was a defensive line coach. And then he became the quarterback coach. And then the OC. So, it's like...
versatility.
And he was... the one year in the NFL, he was the Giants' assistant offensive line coach. So.
Weird.
I don't know. Matt Rhule is...
Okay, 6 p.m. ESPN. Also, another weird thing about these Week 8 matchups, the time slots for the national... some of them, like, ESPN's going with a 6 and a 9, which is uncharacteristic. 69. Mm-hmm. I know you laughed because I said 6 and 9. Caught you. Anyway. 6 p.m. ESPN. Kentucky at number 10, Georgia. Like, I don't know why anyone's watching this.
No, no one should, and I think Georgia's gonna kick the shit out of Kentucky.
Can I just say, Kentucky started Lynn Bowden at QB last week, though, their wide receiver. So that's cool as hell.
He had, like, 180 yards rushing.
That's some Randall Cobb-esque stuff for Kentucky.
You know, it would be awesome if Georgia didn't lose last week, and then they're like,
Lynn Bowden.
Kentucky walks in with Lynn Bowden. Yeah, that would be the greatest, like... It'd be something you can never forget.
I would get a Kentucky tattoo.
How about, like, if they win today, are you going to get today on Saturday, will you get a Kentucky tattoo or no? It's not the same.
No, fuck it. If they start Lynn Bowden at QB and they upset Georgia for double upset, I will get a Kentucky tattoo.
All right. You're on the
Hold
air.
Hold me to it. Okay. I get to choose spot, though, and it's going on my ass.
Can it be the throwback, like,
you pouncing? You pick what it is. I just pick where it goes.
Okay. I mean, you know I'll do it tastefully, too. I won't pick something dumb.
Well, I mean, it's going to be so good, I'm going to put it, like...
On your forehead.
Yeah, but I'm gonna also take Georgia. They're going to come and just... They should kick the shit out of them. Okay.
Yeah,
our surprise bonus game, because there's not 10 nationally televised games. 6 p.m.
I'm glad it's here.
Pac-12 Network. Number 17, Arizona State. At number 13, Utah. The Utes are 13.5-point favorites at home.
Poor Pac-12. Maybe it's good for the Pac-12, but like this game is not being nationally televised. It's also a 6 o'clock start. Like, that's so weird. This is too many points. I think
it is too, but at the same time, Utah is built to roll a team like Arizona State.
That's like, a good point.
Arizona State's, I know, you know, Benjamin had a great game this past week, and he's had a very good season despite the numbers.
Yeah.
But their offensive line is bad, and Utah's got a tough-as-nails defensive line. They play hard defense. Ayuk versus Jalen Johnson's actually a very good matchup. Mm-hmm. Other side of the ball control with Utah... they're both kind of ball control offenses, though, that rely on quarterback mobility, but I'm going to go with Utah.
Really? I'm surprised.
Honestly, the main thing is, like, lucky Fotu, Bradley and Aya, just I think they're going to wreck this Arizona State offensive line, and it's going to really frazzle Jaden Daniels.
I'll tell you one thing about the Pac-12. When it's supposed to make sense, it doesn't. That's a fact. So, yeah, when I see this many points, I'm like, there's no way Arizona State doesn't. And, like, hang around by two touchdowns? Come on.
Knowing the Pac-12, Utah and Oregon are going to lose outright this week.
I think so, yeah. But then Arizona State's going to get elevated, so it might be good for them.
Arizona State's going to take on, like, UCLA next week and lose.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I know. Anyways, I'm taking Arizona State plus points.
Me not. I am taking Utah. 7:30 ABC. This is between this and the Oregon Washington game, like, that's enough to have an enjoyable Saturday.
Yeah, sure. If you consider watching Michigan football enjoyable, which I don't.
And you're a fucking Wolverines fan. Number 16, Michigan, at number 7, Penn State. The Nittany Lions favored by 9 at home with ESPN game day there.
Yeah.
I'm just happy the game day game and, like, the best game is on ABC this week.
That's true. Yeah, that was weird last week.
I didn't like it being on ESPN.
No. I don't like when... Yeah, I don't like that either. Anyways, you know I have to take Michigan plus points.
I will take Penn State. Michigan's offensive line's been super iffy. Penn State's got a strong defensive line.
Sure.
I do think it'll be fairly low scoring, although Sean Clifford is the fastest man in the world.
Let me say this. I think either Michigan wins outright or they get blown the fuck out.
I agree. I think, like, I'm feeling like a 20-6 win for Penn State.
I know. I think if Michigan loses, it's like 35-3. Dude. But if they win, it's
I think that would entail, like, 21-17. Just having a nuts game. Because Penn State really doesn't run the ball well.
No, they don't. That's a big reason why Michigan can hang around.
And the Penn State offensive line did not look very good against Iowa.
No, I don't trust Clifford too much, even though, again, fastest human being. But
yeah, no, a lot of their biggest plays come from just KJ Hamler making defenses look silly.
I'm not 100% sold on this Penn State team.
I don't think they're as good as they're ranked, but I don't think Michigan is either. Welcome to the Big Ten.
Yeah, Michigan plus the points, Penn State baby.
Covers. Okay, another like the big ESPN game, 9 p.m.
Yeah.
Tennessee at number 1 Alabama. Bama favored by 34.5.
Did you hear what Jeremy Pruitt said? he got asked, like, how could you win this game or something? I don't know. I forget what he got asked. But he's like, there's a team in Arkansas that only kicks onside kicks and never punts. So if we try that, we might have a chance.
Okay, I kind of respect that. Now I want to pick them to cover.
No, they're not covering. They're getting rolled.
But if they only kicked onside kicks and never punted, would they cover?
You know what's funny? We've been talking about this idea, like, of not punting for, like, it feels like a long time now. No one's tried it.
It's too risky. You, like, could potentially get fired, like, immediately.
Yeah, but if you're already, like, on the hot seat at a bad school, or, like, go for it, man.
That's true. And, like,
they're going to prove it. Go for it, man.
Your massive buyout anyway.
You have nothing to lose. Like it's so cushy. Like Pruitt's already.
I'll say this.
No one wants him there.
If Pruitt decides to never punt again, I'll get a Tennessee tattoo. But yeah, I'm gonna take Alabama to cover. Tennessee sucks. I hate them.
Yeah, and the Saban thing about his, you know, old assistants where he just fucking pounds them
and then rehires them later.
Yeah, so Pruitt will be back at Bama in 2 years and then get another like coaching job.
I will say this: Jarrell Taylor, the Tennessee edge rusher, is one of my favorite prospects in the entire draft.
Is he? How many times are you going to sack to a?
Probably zero.
Yeah.
Hey, I'm pretty sure I'm the first person to ever give hype to Marquez Callaway, though. So, 3 years ago against Georgia Tech, week one, they were playing on like.
Oh, at the NASCAR stadium.
It was like on a Monday or something.
Yeah, it was. It was week one. Yeah. I know it wasn't Talladega, but I'm going to say
it was Talladega. Of course. Of course it was.
Wasn't yesterday Talladega? Anyways, who cares?
Good point. Anywho, that's the podcast. Once again, if you made it this far, thanks, James.
this was a long episode, too.
We went on too many tangents.
This is either a good episode or really bad.
Like Michigan against Penn State.
That's how I live, Rob.
You can follow AJ on Twitter at AJMarchese13. You can follow me at RobPaulNFL. This has never gotten either of us Twitter followers before.
No, it doesn't. Why do we do it? Because it sounds right.
It's the easiest way to end the podcast. And then I plug...
It's hard to end shows. I mean, we've been trying to figure out a way to end the show, and we've never done it.
Then I plug my content, which I'm sure doesn't get clicks from this.
Should we just end this one abruptly?
Yeah, thanks. Wait, that's not abrupt if I say thanks.